won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour of this D-Day 2025 edition, June 6, 2025 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us, as usual, every Friday from 10 to 11 is a discussion, history lesson, Bible lesson, constitutional lesson. But, you know, sometimes guys just need to be guys, and we need to talk about stuff. So hopefully that'll be the situation today. Pastor Chatfield, unmute your mic, and we'll be good to go. There you are, sir. Hello.
Hello there.
Hey, yes. Hey. D-Day, yes. June 6, 2025, 81 years ago today.
Right. It's also my anniversary, by the way. 44 years ago today, I was married.
Well, God bless Betty.
So I am in Birch Run. I just in the parking lot. My wife's going to spend my money at some of the shops here, so we made it just in time.
Right. And excellent. You know,
I've given lessons so much on D-Day that I could do it again off the top of my head. But nevertheless, I sent you that text. Breaking up is hard to do. Did you get that?
Yes, sir. And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, okay, let me just start off by saying that's the nature of history of mankind, breaking up. And I got four illustrations of this, okay? And it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Sure. After the death of Vladimir Lenin, there were two up-and-comers. One was Trotsky and one was Stalin. And Trotsky was the intellectual guy, but he was completely outmaneuvered by Stalin. Eventually, Stalin kicked him out of the party. Then he kicked him out of the country. And then he had him assassinated in Mexico City. One-time allies become absolute enemies. It is the way it is in history. Now, hopefully, it doesn't have to become enemies, but, you know, in the Bible, even marriage sometimes ends in divorce, and it's not the will of God. The Bible says that God hates divorce, but nevertheless, Jesus said, for the hardness of your heart, I've allowed it, or I've suffered you. Sometimes breakups happen, and in this case, where we'll end up in the second half of the hour, I would guess, you know, breakups happen, and it's, you know, happens between the most powerful man in the world and the richest man in the world. That's just the way it works. And so breakups are hard to do, but they happen all the time. They have happened. They will continue to happen. I'll give you three illustrations of that in American history. So I'll start that on the other side of this short break. Okay,
absolutely, absolutely. Because one of the things, of course, we're referring to is the harsh breakup on social media yesterday between President Trump and Elon Musk, and some of the things that Elon Musk posted, absolutely childish in my opinion, just totally over the top, crazy, you know, spoiled, rotten little brat, the richest man in the world. And some of the things he said was just obviously in the moment when he was really ticked off at Donald Trump. Donald Trump replied. But the bottom line is, in my opinion, you've got the most powerful man in the world, the president of the United States, and the richest man in the world. And dude, it doesn't get any more alpha male than that. And it doesn't get any more aggressive, man.
That's right.
It was fun to watch, actually. I enjoyed it. Hey, we're going to continue on the other side of the break. Three other major breakups in our history with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Did you know annuities are contracts, not investments, such as mutual funds? I illustrate to my clients what an annuity will do, not might do. It's all about guarantees. This is what is unique about annuities. They transfer the risk to the carrier to pay for the rest of your life. No other product on the planet can do that. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield today. So you said you have three other exact on-topic breakups in our history that you want to talk about today. So let's get right into it. Let's do this. Do you want to do it in chronological order based on time, or do you want to do it in as far as the biggest breakup to leave that one to the end?
No, chronologically, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson. Okay, both were patriots. Both loved the country. They were both in favor of independence. They worked very closely together during the Second Continental Congress in 1775 and 1776. Good friends, thought much a lot alike. Benjamin Rush said that Jefferson and Adams were the North and South Pole of the Revolution, of the founding of the country. Adams was the most prominent person at the Continental Congress, argued the best for independence. Jefferson was quieter, didn't say a lot. They're both very intellectual. They both worked on the Declaration of Independence. Originally, it was going to be Adams, but Adams says no, it should be Jefferson for a couple of reasons. Jefferson didn't talk a lot, hadn't offended many people. Jefferson, Adams said, was a better writer than Adams. And Adams said, and you're from Virginia, the South, which we need Southern support of this. There was no question that New England was for independence. Now, Adams and Jefferson, Livingston, Franklin, Roger Sherman were all on the Committee of Five that wrote the Declaration. But the actual writing is credited to Jefferson. But there was some, you know, additions, subtractions, a little bit change of wording here and there, but they were all in. They were all in. And they were, Adams was sent out to France to help Franklin. Then he was sent during the Revolution to try to raise money, or first of all, to France to help Franklin secure French support. Then he went to the Netherlands to try to get some financing. Later, Jefferson, in the 1780s, after we won our independence, he also was sent to France. He represented the United States in France. Adams represented the United States in Great Britain, into the King George III. And they both came back, and they were both helped George Washington in the first administration. Adams was vice president, and Thomas Jefferson was secretary of state. But at the time, the vice president's job was very minimal. And Adams said, this is the worst job anybody ever invented for anybody in the history of the world. I mean, he didn't like it because he was kind of set aside. But
yeah, but and Adams, his book, John Adams, and in the HBO series, if anybody hasn't seen it, definitely find it and watch it. It's the history of it is fantastic. But in the cabinet meetings, even George Washington seemed to shun the vice president out when he was having conversations with Alexander Hamilton, the Secretary of Treasury, dealing with Thomas Jefferson, Secretary of State. It was like they didn't even want the vice president inside the cabinet meetings.
It wasn't the vision originally of the role of the vice president. I mean, he was just to preside, as a Constitution writes, he used to preside over the Senate. And he did, but, you know, the vice president only gets a vote if there's a tie. And Adams didn't like it. I mean, he did not enjoy his time as vice president. But anyway, so you had Adams and Alexander Hamilton were kind of the beginnings, along with George Washington, of the Federalist Party. And then you had Jefferson and Madison, were the Democratic Republican Party. And there was arguments in the cabinet. There was a different vision exactly. The Democratic Republicans were envisioning a more of an agrarian society, a little bit more democratic, more states' rights, didn't favor a national bank, didn't favor tariffs, whereas Hamilton, Washington, Adams say, hey, we need a more powerful central government. And that's the beginning of the party, the Federalist and the Federalist Party and the Democratic Republican Party. When in 1790, 6 when Washington said, I've done two terms, I'm not doing it. Basically, you had two leaders emerge. It would have been Adams and Jefferson. They ran against each other somewhat amicably, but not completely, because they had already had tension, because they had a slightly different vision of where the country was going. But Adams won. But in 1800, Jefferson won again. And now in 1800, you start really, it's the beginning of starting to campaign. Before that, you just threw your name out there. Who do you want, Adams, Jefferson? There was not a whole lot of overt campaigning. But by 1800, you start to have more and more campaigning. And then by 1832, you have a lot. 1828 was a campaign of John Quincy Adams versus Andrew Jackson, a lot of campaigning. I mean, originally, they didn't view it as campaigns. I mean, it's just like, I am who I am, vote for me if you agree with me. But nevertheless, there was a split there between Adams and Jefferson. Adams thought that Jefferson undermined him, and some of his criticisms were not fair. And Adams' wife Abigail was estranged from Jefferson, and they had been friends before. There was a split over policy, and let us not kid ourselves, over personality. All these great men, all great men have what you said, an alpha personality. They have an ego. Call it whatever you want. There's egos that are involved, and they were split up for many years. But
right.
By the late 1800s, Benjamin Rush basically had them. He helped unite them back, and they spent the last 10 years of their life or so writing letters back and forth with each other, and renewed their friendships, explained themselves, and they died as friends. They both died on the same day, exactly 50 years after the Declaration of Independence, as friends, and they were soulmates again. So that was a big split up between Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, but they came back together, believe it or not. And you see that a lot of times with former presidents. You're in a campaign, you say this, they say that, and there's a lot of hard feelings. But then eventually hard feelings kind of go away. That's the way it is.
One of the things that I took away from the HBO series too was, and it was so interesting, is how they did patch things up. They wrote each other, but especially after they both lost their wives.
Right. Yeah. And then you want friends. You know what? Yeah. I'm going down. My wife and I, we're traveling down to, here's a little story. I don't know if I told you this on the air. My 50th high school reunion is tonight or tomorrow. 50 years since I graduated from high school, Algonac High School downstate. And when I graduated downstate, it was outdoors. But right just as we were marching in, lightning, downpour, rain, and we got completely rained out. We never got a ceremony, didn't receive our diplomas in that way. And it was, it's the only time in Algonac High School history something like that happened. They changed the policy. Hey, we can't do this outside without a backup. So 50 years later, guess what? We are marching in. Some of us 68-year-olds are marching in with the Algonac High School seniors to receive a diploma tonight. Or tomorrow. Tonight. That's tonight. Yeah, tonight.
Tonight. So, that is too tonight. Cool. Yeah. They didn't have a plan B for you guys to go into the gymnasium, huh?
Nope, they did not. And that kind of changed the policy because, one of my classmates, they have a granddaughter graduating tonight. And they're going to march in with their granddaughter.
Too cool.
I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this. Bunch of old people walking in with the young people because we never got a ceremony.
Right.
And we have our reunion tomorrow. But you know what? Whatever arguments you had in high school are long gone.
Oh, yeah.
Why would I carry on? And I didn't have many arguments. I graduated from high school not estranged from anybody. And that's really a better way to live.
Yeah.
We're all flawed human beings. So let's not. But, during a campaign, and even you, Randy, on the radio, so-and-so, this, that, and the other, traitor, rah, you. Then a year or two later, things calm down a little bit, and It is what it is, because and probably this will happen with the current dispute between the richest man and the most powerful man on earth. And it's what happened with Jefferson and Adams. They reconciled. Now, the second one, I don't know about how much reconciliation, but it was very important historically. Okay, James Buchanan's the 15th president of the United States. He's from Pennsylvania. He's a Democrat, but he's a northern man with southern sentiments. He was pro-slavery. Buchanan was. And that was kind of a key to get elected. Be a northern man with southern sentiments, being a pro-slavery northern man, and he was a Democrat. Now, there was another senator from Illinois, you've heard me talk about him many times, Stephen Douglas, who was he was a Democrat, and he championed the idea of popular sovereignty. The big question was, in the 1850s, especially, when territories were coming into the Union, should we just stick with the the Missouri Compromise, or should we just let the territories decide for themselves? That was the argument of Stephen Douglas. He says, let every territory decide if they want to be slave or free. He thought that that would solve the problem of the slavery issue. Let people decide. But it didn't solve it. It opened the door. The Kansas-Nebraska Act, the Dred Scott decision, the Compromise of 1850, and then this issue, something called the Lecompton Controversy. What is that? Let me explain. Kansas was part of the Kansas-Nebraska territory, and they were starting to organize themselves to become a state. Nebraska, there was no question. It was going to be a free state. It was too far north. There not too many slaveholders wanted to take their slaves into Nebraska. But Kansas is far enough south, and a lot of people from Missouri went up to Kansas and from other spots in the south to settle Kansas and bring their slaves and try to make it a slave state. But a lot of northerners came to Kansas and didn't want it. And there was almost like in the 1850s, a mini civil war going on gave rise to this a term called Bleeding Kansas. I mean, it was like a lot of violence in Kansas in the 1850s. And each side had set up their own constitutional convention to draw up a constitution. And the pro-slavery crowd drew up one in the city of Lecompton, Kansas, and it was very pro-slavery. But did they really take a vote on this? Is this really legit? There were two other constitutions drawn up, one in Wyandotte and one in Topeka, in which they were free. Now, the fact is, most historians and most people in contemporary said that the Lecompton Constitution was a fraud. It did not have popular support. They did not follow the rules. They just drew up a constitution. They said, we're the legislature. Here's our constitution. Sent it to Washington and said, here, recognize it. Now, James Buchanan, the 15th president, he recognized it. He says, okay, yes, here's the constitution. Kansas will be a slave state. But the Republicans and some of the Northern Democrats, including Stephen Douglas, said, no, it's a sham. No way. It's not legit. So there was a split between Buchanan and Stephen Douglas. And this split, we'll talk about after the break, okay?
Perfect spot for a short break. Bomb the Hour News of Hour Number 2. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan's leading